Hi, Dave Emery here. This is Side 1 of For the Record program number 762. The Adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook, Part 8, U2 Boot, The Destabilization of the Obama Administration. This program is being recorded on November 10th of the year 2013. We are going to resume our lengthy and detailed analysis of the various aspects of L'Affaire Snowden, as I have termed it, or The Adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook. This is obviously a complicated affair. What we're going to be doing in this program is getting down to some of the actual goals of the operation, in my opinion. We began with a lengthy analysis of the players, the dramatis personae, and they are the exact opposite of what people have been told. Because there is so much going on, because due to a serious illness, and by the way, I'm doing very well, there was no new program production for a couple of years, I'm going to begin alternating between our ongoing coverage of The Adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook and also other things that are going on. There is a great deal that is going on, a great deal that has gone on. Listeners and readers who would like to get a jump on some of the other programs in addition to Eddie the Friendly Spook, go to the SpitfireList.com website and check in the news and supplemental section. There have been all kinds of things going on in Europe, the Boston Marathon bombing, all sorts of amazing things. I have been covering that, deposition of the Morsi Muslim Brotherhood government in Egypt, protests against the, quote, moderate, unquote, Islamic government of Turkey, the Pope resigned, all sorts of things have happened, and I will be covering those at length and in detail. In particular, stunning, stunning things have been going on in Europe. I am of the opinion that one of the goals of Eddie the Friendly Spook, who clearly is underground Reich, has been to obscure and eclipse what has been going on in Europe, what Germany has been doing, and turning the U.S. into sort of the international bad guy. However, it's going to take us a while to set this out, and I'm going to be alternating again on alternate weeks between our ongoing coverage of Eddie the Friendly Spook Snowden and other things that are going on. Now, in this program, we're going to be taking a look at what I believe to be some of the actual goals of the operation of Eddie the Friendly Spook Snowden. Never lose sight of that quote from Hitler's Mein Kampf, his autobiography and political manifesto that I have quoted so often. Most people tell little lies. They would be ashamed to tell big lies. They would never credit others with such great impudence as the complete reversal of facts. Even explanations would long leave them in doubt and hesitation, as any trifling detail would dispose them to accept a thing as true. All good liars know this, therefore, and stop at nothing to achieve this end. What we have been looking at with the media portraying Eddie Snowden and Glenn Greenwald and WikiLeaks as defenders of human rights, as heroes, is a complete reversal of facts. I can appreciate that many members of the audience will be scratching their heads over this. That is why I took the time to set forth the dramatis personae. All of these creatures go as far to the right as one possibly can. When you do the two things that one must do in detailed political analysis, first and foremost, follow the money, and then connect the dots, you find that these people are not interested at all in the welfare of humanity. These are people who explicitly reject democracy, who explicitly don't think women should be allowed to vote, who explicitly support the Confederacy of the Civil War era, who explicitly believe in African-American slavery as elements associated with the Ludwig von Mises Institute do, as Ron Paul does. Peter Thiel, who bankrolled Ron Paul's super PAC, rejects democracy, doesn't think women should vote. The Ludwig von Mises Institute rejects democracy, embraces, by the way, monarchy, absolute monarchy. One finds when you begin examining these people, you will find people who not only think the South should secede again, but in my favorite, Walter Block, who is a resident scholar at the Ludwig von Mises Institute and an aide in Ron Paul's new political organization. He believes in voluntary slavery, the ultimate oxymoron and the ultimate in collateralized debt obligation. And the Palestinian Libertarian Organization, as I call it, is all over the Snowden situation. WikiLeaks, inextricably linked with Snowden, loves Ron Paul. Snowden himself was a big Palestinian, gave money to Ron Paul's 2012 campaign. Ron Paul's chief legal advisor, Bruce Fein, is the American attorney for not only Eddie Snowden, but his father, Lon Snowden. And again, these people do not believe in democracy or human well-being. Snowden himself is a far-right winger and has talked about how we should get rid of Social Security, bring back the gold standard, uses language I cannot use on the air to describe Ben Bernanke and his supposed printing of money that's going to make it worthless. By the way, that is something one hears a great deal of, a micro-lecture on economics. Long before hyperinflation would kick in, one would see, as a result of inflation, American goods becoming much cheaper for people to purchase abroad, American automobiles, American weapon systems, consumer electronics, machine tool parts, agricultural products. That would increase demand that in turn would stimulate production and the U.S. economy. In fact, in recent decades, Japan, China, and now Germany, with the very weak euro, have profited from these things and, as a result, have been the focal point of international criticism for keeping their currencies artificially low. Again, that's a brief micro-lecture on economics. Eddie Snowden is part and parcel to the far-right wing of the Republican Party. That is what he is. We have Glenn Greenwald weeping over the casualties produced in the Islamic world by the drone war, something I, by the way, think should be corrected. He is not someone who cares about human welfare. He is not someone who cares about people who have their lives unjustly taken. This is a guy who spent years running legal interference for a bunch of stone Nazi killers and did so pro bono. So again, we're looking at the complete reversal of facts. And by the way, and as this will launch into the main part of the discussion, one of the things that has been surreal to me about this is that the bulk of what we have been hearing about has been on the public record for years. I have been talking about it on programs for years from open sources. This is not an exercise in self-exaltation, but the point is this is not new, and what we are seeing is, at one level, a psyop. Very quickly, from the New York Times of September 6, 2001, 5 days, by the way, before 9/11, Suzanne Daly had the following: World Briefing, Europe, report on U.S. spy system, unquote, and there's an excerpt. The United States-led spying system known as Echelon can monitor virtually every communication in the world by email, phone, or fax that bounces off a satellite, the European Parliament was told. But in reporting on a year-long study of the system, that was prompted by concern that American companies were using data from the system to gain a competitive edge, Gerhard Schmidt, a German member of the parliament, said, quote, many European countries had similar abilities. This, again, is a New York Times story that was published 5 days before September 11th, 9/6/2001. I have talked about this in programs, and this is the coverage of a year-long European parliamentary study of exactly the same bleeping thing that we're now hearing about. Oh, my goodness gracious, the U.S. and the GCHQ, that's the British cooperative agency, have been hoovering up electronic communications. Duh. This has been known for a long time. And this, again, this article is about this reportage on a year-long European parliamentary study of exactly this thing. And furthermore, and this is really important, again, excerpting from the story, Gerhard Schmidt, a German member of the parliament, said that many European countries had similar abilities. One of those, by the way, is Germany. The BND not only has partnered with NSA, but has been doing the same thing and appears to have doubled on NSA and other agencies, you know, the GCHQ, on September 11th and other things. Now, as we ease into the goals of the Adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook, and never lose sight of the fact that this guy, this wonderful friend of humanity, this crusader for human rights, this guy's a spy, okay? Spy rhymes with lie. Don't ever forget that. And what we're looking at here is not some great crusade on behalf of human rights. Whatever you may hear from the lintheads in not only the mainstream media, but the so-called progressive media, a story that appeared in Business Insider, and this is from Business Insider of November 2nd of 2013, an article, ex-NSA director has a radical idea for handling the Snowden leaks. It's by Michael Kelly, K-E-L-L-E-Y. And there's this excerpt about what Snowden actually did, and what he has released, and by the way, what he has staffed with various parties around the world. And the article is referring to former NSA director Bobby Inman's proposal to go ahead and release everything that they think Snowden might have. What is it that Snowden has obtained? Snowden's haul reportedly includes the blueprints of the NSA, 58,000 documents from the UK's Signal Intelligence Agency, GCHQ, and 30,000 US documents that do not deal with NSA surveillance, but primarily with standard intelligence about other countries' military capabilities, including weapon systems, unquote. Couple of points. First of all, there is no, well, by the way, when we talk about the blueprints of the NSA, they're not talking about the floor plan of NSA headquarters in Fort Meade. They are talking about the entire operational structure of NSA. 58,000 documents about the GCHQ, 30,000 documents about things like other countries' military capabilities, including weapon systems. First of all, Snowden could not possibly have read all of these things. Secondly, and most importantly, what you're looking at here, people, what we are looking at is not a crusade on behalf of human rights. What you're looking at here, what we're looking at here, is a hostile counterintelligence operation of unbelievable proportions, and it is not good, okay? Now, we're going to take a look at what I believe to be one of the fundamental goals of the Adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook, Mr. Get rid of Social Security and bring back the gold standard himself, the peach fuzz fascist Eddie Snowden. And again, you track him and the things around him, they don't get any farther to the right. We're going to talk about the destabilization of the Obama administration, which I believe to be one of the fundamental goals in, for the record, 758 and 759. We took a look at the very significant areas of overlap between the forces that are embodied in Eddie the Friendly Spook and the Tea Party and its backers. I think that the destabilization of the Obama administration is one of the goals of this operation, and the overlapping that, one could think of this as a multi-tiered goal, is the destabilization of America itself, the destabilization of the NSA itself, as wacky as that may seem to some people, and ultimately, I believe to be one of the major goals, is the destabilization of and an assault on American internet business, American electronics business, and I think ultimately that may be one of the most severe outgrowths of this. I have compared this in a number of posts and in some of my introductory comments to the U-2 operation in May of 1960. Now, the difference fundamentally, although I think both ultimately track back to the Underground Reich and its consummately powerful fifth column in the United States, the sabotaging of the U-2 plane appears to have been largely U.S. intelligence. I believe that Eddie the Friendly Snowden is obviously Underground Reich. This is obviously a fascist milieu when one begins following the money and connecting the dots. I believe, however, that this is a BND operation, a German intelligence operation, very possibly making use of a fifth column in the United States. In For the Record 752, the U-2 incident revisited, we took an excerpt from The Guns of November, Part 1. I'm going to read the description for that by way of setting the stage. The description for the record 752 reads, excerpted from The Guns of November Part 1, this broadcast reviews the circumstances surrounding the U-2 incident in May of 1960. On the cusp of the summit conference between then-President Dwight D. Eisenhower and then-Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev, a U-2 spy plane piloted by Francis Gary Powers came down in the heart of the former Soviet Union. The incident caused the cancellation of the summit conference, which was a prelude to détente, that, again, between the U.S. and the former Soviet Union. This program, this is talking about 752, was a prelude to a lengthy discussion of the adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook, Edward Snowden, just before President Obama's meeting with President Xi of China. Snowden decamps to Hong Kong in China and leaks information about the hacking of Chinese computers. This caused enormous embarrassment to President Obama and neutralized any attempt he might have been able to make to reduce Chinese hacking of American computers, as well as resolving other points of dispute between the two nations. Next, Snowden's leaker of choice, Citizen Greenwald, published articles in The Guardian disclosing extensive NSA spying on Germany, which the NSA views as a, quote, third-class partner, unquote. These articles were published just before President Obama was to meet with Chancellor Angela Merkel of Germany. Again, it caused enormous damage to Obama and harmed U.S. relationships with Germany and other European nations. Again, there's been a lot of publicity about this. Returning to the description for the record 752. Hitting the trifecta, Eddie the Friendly Spook Snowden then decamps to Moscow in Russia. Like China, Russia is not renowned as a bastion of free speech or internet freedom. This occurred just before Obama's meeting of the G20 in Moscow and in the run-up to a scheduled summit conference with President Putin. That summit conference was canceled. Snowden's trip to Moscow, like his journey to Hong Kong or China, could only have been intended to harm President Obama's administration and the United States. By the way, program highlights of that include President Eisenhower's order to suspend all U-2 overflights of the Soviet Union. Powers' flight was dispatched against presidential orders. The fact that Francis Gary Powers, the pilot of the U-2 plane, had poison and a needle with which to take his own life in order to prevent capture, which he did not do. The fact that Powers had extensive personal identification pinpointing him as a U.S. intelligence agent operating under civilian cover, that in direct contravention of standard sanitization procedures. The fact that the U-2 flew at an altitude at which no Soviet or American interceptor aircraft or surface-to-air missile at that time could reach. The U-2's use of a special hydrogen technology to permit its engine to operate at that altitude. The probability that hydrogen starvation forced down Powers' plane, the relatively undamaged state of the U-2 aircraft, calling into question the assertion that any surface-to-air missile could have been responsible for the downing of Powers' plane. Powers' assertion that Lee Harvey Oswald, of all people, was responsible for the downing of his U-2 plane. This presumably centered on Oswald's access to radar frequencies, which had nothing to do with the reality of the downing of the plane. So again, that is a summation of the U-2 incident in May of 1960. That is why I have termed this broadcast U-2 Boot. And we're going to take a look at the Atlantic Wire of June 14th of 2013. This is an article by Alexander Abad Santos. It's titled, Snowden is using specific evidence of U.S. hacking China to stay out of jail. It reads in part, Edward Snowden, the NSA leaker who has turned the United States intelligence apparatus upside down, said that he won't be extradited back home without a fight. That fight won't take him to Britain in the meantime, but it does apparently involve letting the Chinese government know that he has information on the United States, quote, using technical exploits to gain unauthorized access to civilian machines in China. We know from Snowden's interview this week with the South China Morning Post that he had new information about the U.S. hack in China, but Hong Kong's English-language newspaper reports today that he's got targets, too. Beyond China's hacking culture, beyond China's hacking culture, the U.S. and Chinese governments have accused each other of back-and-forth cyber espionage on government sites, infrastructure, and beyond, and President Obama and Xi made little progress on digital war when they met a week ago. This could be a seriously provocative escalation if Snowden has a backup plan of more leaks as he negotiates his next move, which The Guardian's Glenn Greenwald told The Atlantic Wire he might, unquote, indeed have. That again from The Atlantic Wire of June 14th of 2013. Now I'm going to read a post called, again, U-2 Boot, and this reads, among my nicknames for Eddie Snowden is Babyface Snowden. In the 1930s, there was a famous American criminal named Babyface Nelson. In the second decade of this century, we are witnessing the activities of another criminal of youthful visage, Edward J. Snowden. A career spook, Snowden has, of course, been the source for disclosures about the NSA spying on individuals and the institutions. Previously, we noted that Ron Paul Backer Snowden decamped to Hong Kong and leaked information about U.S. hacking of Chinese computers just as President Obama was meeting with Chinese Prime Minister Xi, Chinese President Xi, embarrassing the president at a sensitive time. Now, Snowden has followed up his Chinese op by leaking information about NSA spying on EU members. The most spied-upon EU member state is, unsurprisingly, Germany. The latest disclosure comes as Obama was preparing to meet with Angela Merkel of Germany. She, of course, the chancellor. The timing of this, on top of the remarkable coincidence, unquote, of Snowden showing up in Hong Kong and leaking embarrassing information on Obama just before he is meeting with President Xi, is more than even the most credulous individuals should believe. As noted in a previous post, this incident strikes us as being remarkably similar to the downing of a U-2 spy plane prior to the Eisenhower-Khrushchev summit. and FTR in The Guns of November, Part 1 and FTR 752, we examined information from Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty about the U-2 incident. Skipping down, Snowden's ride to coin the term has all the earmarks of an intelligence operation, just like the U-2 gambit. Central to this is Thiel, Peter Thiel's Palantir firm, almost certainly the developer of the PRISM function. As discussed in our last post, the notion that there would be two Silicon Valley software functions with identical names used by the NSA and the intelligence community is not credible. There would have been litigation. Also, as we noted in our last post, we wonder what role may have been played in this by Michael J. Morrell, who briefed George W. Bush on intelligence matters and who was at his side on 9/11. Note that Snowden also worked for CIA as well as NSA. That the company may be scoring points against a rival agency is also to be considered. Morrell, by the way, resigned as CIA director right in the middle of this. He assumed the directorship of CIA after the resignation of Mr. Petraeus, and that affair, unquote, also appears to have been an op that right after Obama was reelected. It should come as no surprise that the NSA would target Germany as a hotspot for electronic intelligence. An overview of the most important terrorist incidents affecting the United States over the last quarter of a century reveals important evidentiary tributaries leading to Germany. Now, I reviewed these at length and in detail and also expanded on that in our previous program for the record 761. There are profound links between the bombing of Pan Am 103 and German intelligence, the first World Trade Center attack, the Oklahoma City bombing, and last but most assuredly not least, the 9/11 attacks themselves. There are very disturbing indications that underground Reich-associated elements of the BND may very well have been involved in running Mohammed Atta, and there are underground Reich tributaries, including underground Reich elements within the George W. Bush administration and the Republican Party, who are deeply implicated in the 9/11 attacks. And again, I note in this particular post that the Echelon Network, most of this has been known for quite some time. One of the points that I make is that the formal attack on the British and American Echelon Network began in 1998, and that attack has elements tracking back to both Germany and the Underground Reich. One of the elements that was front and center attacking the Echelon Network was the Free Congress Foundation, which was involved with, among other things, the destabilization of the former Soviet Union. The Free Congress Foundation grew out of the Youth for Wallace movement in the late 1960s. That was former segregationist governor of Alabama, George Wallace. And one of its principal elements is the OUNB, or OUN Bandera, a Ukrainian fascist organization formed by the German General Staff in 1934 and deeply involved not only with the Waffen-SS formations, such as the 14th Waffen-SS or Galician Division, but also the various Einsatzgruppen and the mobile killing squads that followed the frontline German troops into the former Soviet Union and performed many of their liquidations. We're going to continue with this analysis in the second side of the program. Please note that all of my life's work is available on the SpitfireList.com website. All of the audio descriptions, plus there are new contributors who not only make wonderful comments, but a brilliant individual who posts under the name of Terrafractal, PTERRAFRACTYL, a very worthy and brilliant individual indeed. There is also a flash drive available with my entire life's work on it that you can get either through the website or through the various stations that carry this program. This concludes side one of the program. It is for the record number 762, The Adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook, Part 8, YouTube Route, The Destabilization of the Obama Administration. This is being recorded on November 10th of the year 2013. I'm Dave Emery. Ciao.